Hear these words from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, everybody's favorite. "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." This is the word of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, open our hearts, our minds, our eyes, and our ears, that as you speak to us today, we will receive those words and put them into action in our lives. May the words from my mouth be a blessing unto you. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. So, I want you to imagine with me this little thing. Little thing. So you're sitting on an airplane. You get buckled up. The stewardesses or stewards or whatever they're called come out and they go through their little spiel about the seatbelt and where all the exits are. The fact that your seat that you're sitting on is a floating device. What they don't tell you is that if there's a problem, you're going to beat the emergency crews to the crash site by 30 minutes. That was a joke, y'all. But you're sitting on the airplane and you're looking out the window and you see the ground there below you and everybody's doing their thing and they taxi onto the runway and sit there forever, and all of a sudden you hear the engine starting to race and the plane starts taking off, and as it goes faster and faster down through there, and you're looking out the window and you think there's no way on God's green earth this thing is coming up off this ground. And sooner or later, this runway is going to run out of space. But sure enough, off it takes. And you look out and you see the beautiful blue skies and the sunshine. And the plane, as far as you know, is flying just perfectly smooth. Flying along. Looking at that, whatever that magazine is that's in the back of it that sells stuff for $5,000 more than it's worth. And you glance out the window and all of a sudden there's no more blue sky. All you see is clouds, and you look down and all there is clouds. And you look straight out and it's dark clouds, and you start looking for the sun and there's no sun. And then it starts raining and the plane starts bouncing and you start thinking, "Dear Jesus, why didn't I take a car?" You're going along and this voice comes on the loudspeaker and says, "Ladies and gentlemen, we are about to start our descent into such and such airport." And you start descending and you're looking out and all you see is clouds and rain, and you look down and there's nothing there, and you think, "Dear Jesus, please let there be ground down there." Sure enough, you hear that screeching, infamous sound of the wheels touching down. And all of a sudden it comes to a stop, and you think, "Wow, I'm glad they know how to fly in the blind." What you have just experienced, ladies and gentlemen, is putting your faith and trust in someone you have no clue who they are, how much experience they have, and you will probably never, ever see. What amazes me is that we will put our trust in someone like that But we have this really big issue of putting faith and trust in God. You ever wondered about that? How many of you trust me? Not as many as I thought would. Wow. I know where I stand. So how many of you would trust your children with me? I hope so, Angie. How many of you would trust me with your car? Car. How many of you would trust me with your home? How many of you would trust me with your bank account? Did she not raise her hand? For the record, those of you that are listening by CD, my wife did not raise her hand on that last one. Isn't it amazing that we will trust people with things that we're not all that worried about? The smaller things. But when it comes to trusting with important things, I'm surprised as many of you raised your hands with your kids as you did, because evidently y'all haven't seen my kids. We have a trust issue. We will trust everyone with certain aspects of our life. Do I trust you? Yes, I trust you. Do I trust you with all of my possessions? Some. Do I trust you with my life? You see, the thing is that we will trust others just so far. Because there's certain things that we don't think maybe they could handle. Some folks don't trust others with their money. Has anyone ever come to you to borrow something? How many of you would loan someone, anyone, how many of you would loan someone a basketball? Come on, y'all, it's a stupid ball. You can get one at Walmart for $10. We've already discussed the car and the house and the kids and the finances. But it seems like the smaller worth that's there, the easier it is to trust someone. But sometimes we really aren't real sure about trusting God with our very life. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if we think that He doesn't understand us. I don't know if it's because we don't think He can handle it because He's got so many other people to deal with. But for some reason, we have a problem allowing God to control our lives. We let our spouses control our lives, but we won't let God control. Our scripture text this morning says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." I think that's the problem. I think we understand that God knows the plans He has for us. And it scares us. Every time I have ever stepped on a plane, it has scared the living daylights out of me because of one thing. I'm not in control. And I didn't understand that until I was on my way to Canada, and I'm sitting next to Larry the Cable Guy. That's what we called him. And we're talking, and he's making all these jokes about the fact that there's a bolt missing out of the wing. And that I don't need to worry about the floating device under the seat because I weigh too much to be saved by that. And every time we would take off, I would just clench down on the seat. If you haven't figured it out yet, I can't fly. And he looks over at me, he said, "You know what your problem is, Brother Dan? You like to be in control." And I said, "You're full of it." "I know me," he said. "See, you even think you're in control of your feelings." But I got to thinking about it, and he was right. After service, asked Angie, who drives everywhere. I don't trust her. She drives too fast. But see, we're all laughing, but that's your problem too. You have a problem giving up control. We are all control freaks in our lives because we know what's best for us. Even though to each other's face, we will say, God is in control. God's in control to a certain point. We'll let Him control some of the things, but we don't want to give up the bank account number. "For I know the plans I have for you." Scares us, and sometimes we don't go any further than that in that text. But listen to the rest of it. It says, plans to prosper you. Plans to prosper you. God is never going to put us in a situation that doesn't help us to grow. Now, God is not going to put you in a place where you can handle it. One of the biggest misnomers is God's never going to give you anything you can't handle. Oh, yes, He does. God is never going to put on you anything that He can't handle. God is not going to put us in a place where we are going to be harmed, because that next part says, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future. Brothers and sisters, if we give control over to God, we have His promise. How many of you believe that God is God? How many of you believe that God knows what He's doing? How many of you believe that God loves you? Then why don't we know that when God is in control, we're going to be better off than if we are in control? I've been in control quite a bit. And I'll flat out tell you, because I'm not afraid, I have really screwed a lot of things up. And one of my biggest issues is this. because of who I am, sometimes I don't feel like I'm worthy of all of that. I'm a nothing. I'm a nobody. I'm a peon. And there's not a whole lot God can do with me. Anybody else ever felt like that? I mean, when I got called in the ministry, I'm thinking, boy, you made a mistake there, God. There's a whole lot of folks sitting in those pews that know more about Scripture and about you than I will ever know. I'm a nothing. I'm a little. You know, God's amazing. He does so many things with little things. Think about it. He does so much with little things. God took this little boy and gave him five little stones, and he defeated giants. God took this little man and used him as a witness that he could change lives. It was only three small little loaves that fed 5,000. In the grand scheme of things, God knows the plans that He has for us. He's known them all along. So when God comes to us and says, I have something for you to do, or don't worry about that problem, don't worry about that news that you got, I've got this if you'll let me have it. You see, I would venture to say that all of us sitting here today has a problem of letting go. We have a problem letting go. We say that, okay, God, I'm laying this at your altar. I was watching a movie on Turner Classic Movies the other night. And it was with the Marx Brothers. And it was a football game. And so Harpo got a hold of the football. And he put this rubber band on it. And so what he did was when they snapped the ball, he went back to throw the ball and he throws it. And just as it gets to the hands of a defender, it comes back because he pulls it back. And he does it all the way down the field. That's us. We say we're going to give these things to God and let God deal with it and give up control and say, here you are, God, but we've tied a rubber band to it so that as God's getting ready to take care of the problem for us, we pull it back. Because we're not in control. Because we won't let go. So this is the challenge I give you this week. You ready? Wasn't a whole lot of people said yeah. As your week goes along, anytime something major or minor comes up, I want you to do this. I want you to let go. Let God. Let go. Let go of those worries, those problems, those concerns you have, and let God have them. Let go of the steering wheel of your life and let God take over driving. Those things that you think that you have to be in control of, let it go and let God. I promise you, God has got more experience doing the things that we think we can do than we will ever have. So, what are you going to do? I don't think anybody on the tape can hear you, so. Let go, let God. Because God knows the plans He has for your life. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Let's pray. Gracious God, we thank You for Your blessings that You pour out on us. Father, sometimes we have good intentions. We get into the passenger seat and we let You drive. But pretty soon we're trying to take over. We're trying to run the show. Father, we ask that You remind us that You're in control. And if we'll just give You the opportunity, You can take care of anything that we have in our lives. Father, get us to understand that being a control freak can be detrimental. And the best part for us is that You're God. And You would never allow anything to harm us. Help us to understand that. And help us to share that with others that are struggling with that control thing in their lives. Help us to share that motto, let go, let God, with others. And the more that we say it, the more that we think it, the more that we do it, we will understand that You know what's best for us. Father, that we ask that You watch over us this coming week as we go out to a world that is going to throw a whole lot of curves at us and a lot of clouds and rain and we're going to find out real quick that we're not in control and we need to just hand it over to You so that we don't mess it up. Father, we pray all this in Your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.